Okay, let's just go into the Word of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13, okay? Let's stand as we read the two verses. Romans chapter 13, 8 to 10. Okay, let's read the few verses, the three verses, as we focus on God's love is a fulfillment of the law. Okay, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Ready? Begin. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this... Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we pray, come to you, we pray you open our hearts to your precious word, especially for believers in Christ, that we might learn your word. And Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for Eliza and our parents not able to come because of Eliza is sick. I pray also for Brother Henry overseas. I pray that you would help him to spend time with you, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us right now into your word and teach us the truth, Lord, as only the Holy Spirit can teach us. And I pray that for those who are here, I pray that we'll all receive your word with gladness, that, Father, our lives will change because of your word. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, let's turn to John chapter 13 first, okay, as an introduction. I think we all know the passage, in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. This commandment was given by the Lord Jesus Christ before he went to the cross, and he saw a very serious problem in the disciples. In John chapter 13, it's a passage that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And Jesus had to do that because he had to teach his disciples how to love one another. If you read a little bit more or study that passage, you'll find that in the culture, when I was in Nepal, everything was dusty. Everything was just dusty. And when I brought my coat back and soak it, and then to my horror, a few hours later, I didn't tell my family yet, all the water was black. The coat still looked yellow, green, because it's green color, but the whole thing was black. Okay, so I think I asked John knew about that. I said, wow, this coat haven't been washed for so long. And then Esther Joy was saying, no, Ba, it's just the dust. It's just black, okay? But you know, during those times, in Jesus' times, the slaves will wash the feet of the guests that come into the house, okay? So it was a slave's job to wash all the guests that come into the house for dinner or whatever, okay? But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was preparing for the Lord's Supper, everyone was sitting down for the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper before Jesus Christ went to the cross, but no one washed the feet of anyone. And guess who took the initiative? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he had to teach the disciples at that time what it meant to love one another. Love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It's action. Love is an action word. Today we have many hymns and songs about, oh, how I love Jesus, but our lives are full of things that we know is not right. We say we love Jesus, but life is not in line with the Bible. We can't pay lip service to God. God knows our hearts. Jesus was teaching the disciples, if you love me, you will do what I do. If you love Jesus, you will do what he does. Jesus got baptized. He didn't have to. You know why he did that? Because he loved the Father and he loved righteousness. That's why he got baptized. When we say we love Jesus, we will be baptized. Okay? Jesus was faithful. Did you know that Jesus in his time, he was faithful to the gathering of God's people every week? If we love Jesus, we need to be gathered every week for the Lord's time in prayer and in church. Jesus gave. We need to give when to show our love. In John chapter 13, verse 34, 35, Jesus taught his disciples, saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, ye have love one to another. If you really study the Bible, you realize that this commandment is actually not new. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, the reason why they are to love each other is because it was commanded. It was commanded. In other words, if you don't love by the outward forms, that means you are not right with God. Okay? But Jesus says it's a new commandment because Jesus right now is not asking us to love because we have to. It's new because Jesus wants us to love because we want to. Can you see a difference? Two children sitting in a class and the teacher gives an instruction. One child says, okay, Lord, I'll do it, Lord. Whereas another child says, yes, teacher, I'll do it. Okay? Now, the first child was under the law. I have no choice. I've got to do it. But the second one was because he did it from the heart. Can you see that difference? That is what Jesus means when he says, a new commandment I give unto you. In fact, Jesus wants us to love him and each other because it comes from the heart. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It is a love that is unconditional, and this love can only come from God. Because it is very hard to love someone who hates you. It's very hard to love someone who offends you. You know, it's interesting when I was in Nepal, there's a few illustrations. Do you know, some of the Bible college students, their parents have been murdered because they are Christians. But you know, as there was one, James, he was sharing his testimony about his sister-in-law was murdered, and they suspected it was his two sisters that did it because they lived together, all right? And there was a lot of this. And he was sharing how it was very heavy on his heart that his two sisters is in prison. I think one of them is in prison because of that. He was falsely accused. And as a Bible college student, as a Christian, he was asking God why, you know, why did this happen? But you know what? He said he has peace in his heart that God is in control. You know, he's doing church planting, and he's only 22 years old. He's going to the villages and sharing the gospel. And he's such a love, and when we were there, he was such a humble man. He's only 22 years old. When we were there, we said that it was Jeremiah's long-lost twin. Because they look alike, almost alike, I think he's shorter. But many of them love and serve Jesus because they love Christ. This love is unconditional and it can only come from God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, is a love that serves others. Because in Galatians 5, 13, by love, serve one another. So coming to Romans chapter 13, Paul expands this love in Romans 13 and he goes into specific instructions for Christians. He says, if you turn there, Romans chapter 13, from our legal obligations to the government, remember we talk about authority, we need to follow authority because it's right. Paul now focuses on our spiritual obligation to one another as believers in Jesus Christ. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, we have a spiritual obligation to one another. Okay? We need to obey government out of our moral and spiritual responsibility to God, and pay our tribute, our taxes, what is required. That's in Romans chapter 13. We talked about it last week. But between us as believers, we are never to leave anything outstanding between us as well. Do you realize as believers in Christ, we are not isolated? In other words, we don't do something and say it's not going to affect anyone. Every action and decision that we make affects someone else. Every action and decision we make in our life affects someone else. It always affects someone else. Because in Romans 14, the Bible teaches us, no man live to himself, no man die to himself. You will always affect someone else. And so, Paul is teaching the Roman believers to be practical in their love for one another. Okay, so there are three things he touched on, or rather, one thing he touched on, but he expounds the spirit of love for believers, okay? The first thing he said, the Bible says, owe no man anything. Romans chapter 13 verse 8, owe no man anything, but to love one another. Firstly, pay back what you owe. And he's talking about money, really. He says, if you borrow something from someone, pay him back. Okay? Now, owe no man anything does not imply that we should never borrow anything from anyone, because sometimes we do need some things and we can ask for one another. But the principle, the truth that Paul is teaching the Roman Christians, when we owe something, in the love of Jesus, pay the person back. Don't take advantage. Have you had friends who lend money or some things from you and then say that he's going to pay by a certain time? And then, hey, sorry, can I delay for the next 2 weeks? I'll pay you back then. And then 2 weeks later, he call you, hey, sorry, can I pay you my next payday? then he say, oh, next year. Have you had that before? You know, we all never, as a believer in Christ, do that. Okay, my children are laughing because they are experiencing this now. And some of you may have experienced that when people loan things from you and you know, they keep extending their deadline to pay back. You know what Paul is saying? Owe no man anything. Owe no man, but to love one another. You know what he's saying? He's saying this for Christians. If we owe money, for example, we ought to pay back as soon as possible. There are two reasons for that. Number one, it is unrighteous to live a debt unpaid. As a believer in Christ, we ought really to pay back everything that we owe, number one. Number two, it actually goes against a very simple principle of love. Because the brother may need the money at that time. And if you promise to pay back at a certain time, in the love of Christ, you honor that brother if you pay back at that time. Right? That's one. Another one, it's not right to keep something when we actually owe to another person. Paul is teaching the believers, not that you can't borrow anything, but he's saying, if you borrow something, well, pay back on time. Pay back on time, because it shows your love for the other person. It shows Christ's love for the other person if we are Christians. If we are faithful to the Lord and we love Jesus, I have to share this because I was so challenged by the believers in Nepal. It's actually their Nepalese New Year. It's actually their New Year where we went for the missions conference. And did you know that? What do we do in New Year's time? We always go back to our families, right? Right? You know, they love the Lord Jesus so much, they didn't go back to the villages. They rather go to the mission conference. And it sounds a little bit, why don't you go back? You know, family is important. But out of the love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I could see that so evidently from them, they love Christ so much, they'll rather go back. They'll rather go to a place where they can hear God's word and love Jesus. And I'm not saying they didn't go back to the families later, because after the fourth day, many of them would just go back to the village. And the travel to their village is 4 or 5 hours, okay? And some of you in Philippines understand what it means to travel 4 or 5 hours just to go back to your village. It's far, it's tiring. But you know, those believers in Jesus love Jesus so much, they'd rather go and hear the word of God at the church. And you know, when they hear the word of God, it's from 10 p.m. to 7 p.m. How many, if we plan that, would you all come and stay the whole time? No, they're not saying that they didn't have break. They did have breaks, okay? But it's a continuous hearing of the word of God. And you know, one thing I really learned from them, the believers really love Jesus so much. They really love the Lord so much. And Paul says that this love can only come from God. But this love they had for one another too. This love they actually had for one another too. All right? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, I'll just read. You can turn there. Let's turn there. Actually, it's good for us to turn there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, 28. And it's a clear Bible principle. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. In the Old Testament, we are taught that if we withhold not good from them to whom it is due, if someone, in the idea of, if someone needs something, you give it to them, okay? When you actually can do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it to you. So when we see a need, we should at that point of time just give it straight away, because it fulfills the law of love. And don't say, go, come again and I'll see what we can do tomorrow, when you actually have it with you. Because in love, we are to give when there is a need. In fact, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, give to those that ask of you, and what? Don't ask for anything in return. Okay? We need to be wise, but during that time, they are living in a time that they are very tight. Now they're very, 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 very poor. They're very, very poor. I need to tell you that story. It's so such. They're very poor. But Jesus says, if you have something with you and someone needs it, still give it to that person. Don't say, come back later tomorrow. There was one boy, he's actually, I was there, and I should have brought it. He gave me a packet of biscuits. He gave me a packet of biscuits, okay? And he says, Pastor Johnny, this biscuits is eaten by our soldiers. In Nepal, they are the Gurkhas. You know the Gurkhas? The Gurkhas, the most feared army in the world. And this is a biscuit they eat. When I look at the biscuit, to us it may be, oh, don't want the biscuit, I can take biscuits. Those are Bible college students. They don't have much. Sometimes when they go out on missions to plant churches, sometimes they don't have food to eat along the way. You know, they're so poor, they're still willing to give. They give whatever they can give. And that really touches our heart. You know, it shows their love, not only for God, but for the brethren as well. And God teaches us not to owe anyone anything. Okay, that's the first thing. In number two, point number two, let's go back to Romans again. Romans chapter 13, verse 8b. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Loving each other is a fulfillment of the law of God. If we love one another, we fulfill the law of God. When we, in God's love, do anything for our neighbor, we have fulfilled Christ's law. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there was a man who came, there was a Pharisee, a lawyer came to him asking the question to actually tempt him. And he asked, Master, which is the great commandment? Which is the number one? Of all the 613 laws of the Old Testament, which is the most important one, the greatest one that we must pay absolute heed to? And Jesus summarized the entire Old Testament law in two commandments, which is the same. Number one, you are to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. In other words, the number one commandment in the Old Testament and now in the New is to love God with everything you have. That is the great commandment in the law. Okay? But then in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. The second is similar to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus is teaching this lawyer that you say you, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And on this, too, hang all the law and the prophets. When we say we love God and cannot get along with someone else, we're lying. When we say we love Jesus and we can't stand someone else, we're lying. Because God says, if you love me, then my love will come into you and you will be able to love someone else. Make sense? But when we say, oh, we love Jesus, but we are constantly angry with someone else, you know what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5? Go and settle that with this person first. We cannot say, Christians, that we love Jesus, but we don't want to be with this person. Or or we don't like this person. That is not Christianity. Because Jesus says, what? Love your enemies. That's the love of Jesus in our hearts. So when we love one another, it is a fulfillment of the law of God. And Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, everything that you will do before God and man. These are the two things. We need to do it out of heart of love for God and for... We come to church, we give an offering, it's because we love you. You come to church because you love Jesus. You are faithful to church because you love Jesus, because the church is God's house. You serve Jesus because you love Jesus. You come to church not because you like to meet your friends. You come because you love Christ. You come, you give your offerings is because you love Christ. You give more because you love Christ, not because I need to give to church. Because you love Christ. We are to love God with all of our hearts. We serve faithfully because we love Christ. We don't do because pastor asks us to do. Of course, we need to be in submission. But we will be willing to be in submission because we love Christ. Because Jesus submitted to the Father too, right? He went to the cross because he submitted to the Father. He loved the Father. That's why he submitted to it. We are faithful in the way we live is because we love Christ. Because love is the fulfillment of the law. When we care for a brother or a sister, it's because we love that brother or the sister. It's not because I got to do this, okay? Paul was trying to teach these Roman Christians to this. He says, or rather, when Jesus taught that in Matthew 22, 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, when you have given yourself to the Lord, you will then be able to love your neighbor as yourself. It's when you've given your heart to God. And then turn back to Romans chapter 13, Paul goes on to say many of the commandments to remind the believers. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 9, for this, because of this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Because of this, thou shalt not kill. Because of this, thou shalt not steal. Because you love someone, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you won't lie against your brother or your sister. Because you love one another and love God, you will not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, let me paraphrase in the Singapore language, okay? If you love someone, we will not have evil and wrong intentions with our brethren. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. In other words, when I look at a sister, my mind will be very clear because I love the brother, I love the sister, and vice versa. Thou shalt not kill. In Singapore or modern-day language, we will not hate them. Remember, Jesus says, if you are angry with someone without a cause, you have committed murder. We will not steal. If I love a brother or a sister, I will not take what is rightfully theirs. If I love a brother, I'm not going to bear false witness. I will not bring a case against a brethren falsely. In Nepal, they recently had a split because there was some of the church leaders who brought up wrong accusations against Brother Cloud and the church split. They were very sad, but it happened, you know. And these are Christian brethren who brought up a false accusation against the ministers of God. If we love the person, we will not take up a case against our brethren falsely. If we love the brethren, we will not covet. In other words, we will not lust after something that belongs to another. And Paul says, if there's any other thing, it is all summarized in this. How we interact with one another as believers in Jesus need to be motivated by one thing, love for God and love for each other. You know why you come to church faithfully? Because you don't want to stumble another brother or sister in Christ. You know why you serve faithfully? Because you do not want to stumble another brother or sister in Christ. It will happen. Because when someone looks at our life, and many times we are not faithful to the Lord in certain areas, one of the things I've learned when I was there was how much the believers really love the Lord. And they're there on time, and they are there. This is I took photographs, and then maybe next week I'll show some, not here, but in the discipleship. before the service started over in Nepal, my eyes opened. It's about 10, 15 minutes before the service opened, started in morning. Believers gathered themselves in groups to pray for the meeting without anyone telling. There were no announcement. They just gathered in the groups and prayed for the meeting. I said, Lord, have mercy on us. We need to learn. The Lord really challenged my heart about what it means to be faithful to the Lord and to His church. And you know, those believers, when they interacted with us, they were very humble. Maybe communication is a problem because some can understand, some can't, because they only understood Nepali. But by the things they do, you can see they love you. Because they will serve you, they'll bring drinks for you, we ate together. Okay, you've ever loved dal, you know dal? Because Nepali, they eat Indian food, dal. They only have rice, they have potatoes and pumpkin, and they have dal. Only curry. They don't have seven course. It's plain rice, dal gravy, and potato. That's all they had. They did in love, and they just enjoyed. It wasn't the food, it was the love that all the believers showed with one another. That made the time so... And by the way, the dal is very nice. If you ever go there and eat. There was two brethren who cooked for 140 of all. Morning, they eat rice in the morning too. So it's lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they did all love for the brethren. If you ever want to do... And if there's any other commandment that we follow, it is summarized by this. Christians, whatever you do for God, it must come from a heart of love. For God and for each other. In the Crossroads camp, we commit ourselves to serve is because we love God. And because we love each other, we want to serve together, and because we love the loss. We love the loss. And that's what Paul says in verse 9, in the second part. If there be any other commandment, anything, any instruction you have to do is briefly understood in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, the last point, Romans 13, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That simply means love will not do anything that will harm a person. Worketh no ill. That means I will not do anything that is wrong. The word ill means something that is injurious, something that will injure you, something that will harm you. Okay? Genuine love will not do anything that will harm a person. This is different from, I will not do anything that will hurt the person. It's different. Because a doctor in the operating theater have to cut in order to remove, during operation, he have to cut, open up in order to take the disease or the infection out, and then he'll put it back, right? Sometimes, in love, we may need to hurt the person in order to help the person. And this is a very important Bible principle. In Singapore nowadays, sometimes we don't like to, oh, I don't want to say this because it may hurt the person or offend the person. Genuine love will not do anything that will harm the person, will injure the person in the wrong way. But you know, sometimes in order to help the person, we may have to hurt the person. Parents know that. We got to hurt the backside so that the heart will change. Okay? But you know, sometimes we are angry. We may harm the child when we hit too hard, or we do wrong to the child. If what we do will harm or offend someone or stumble someone and cause them to stumble as a Christian, we need to think very hard before doing it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. To 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 to 13. But take heed, be careful, lest by any means, through whatever you do, this freedom of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. During that time, the Corinthian society eat food offered to idols. Okay? As a believer in Christ today, if we know a food is offered to idols, if we know or someone told us we cannot eat that because we will be worshipping the table of devils, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so we must be very clear on that. But during that time, you may not know whether the meat is actually offered or not, because all the meat, or most of the meat, they are sold in the marketplace. Some of them are offered, okay? And so, but food is food. It's no longer in the temple, it's in the market. When you go to the market to buy food, all right, no one's going to say, oh, this one pray to idols one, right? This one pray. You don't say that because it's in the market. The market is the place you buy food. So you buy food from the market, it's to cook, okay? But Paul is saying there are some Christians who are saying, I'm a spiritual man. Even if I eat food offered to idols, it doesn't affect me. But Paul is saying, you can understand that. But maybe a young Christian cannot understand that because they just got saved, they just came out, and they are still not very sure. And so Paul teach that, yes, you can eat and it doesn't affect you. But if you do that, it may hurt a young Christian. It may hurt a young Christian. So in verse 9, take heed lest this freedom of yours, the freedom to eat what you want, food is food, by the way. Food is food. But if you eat food offered to idols in those days, it doesn't affect you, and you know in your heart because there is only one God. But if eating food offered to idols actually caused a younger Christian to fall and stumble in their Christian faith, we become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Does that make sense? For if any man see thou which has knowledge, see that meat in the temple, in other words, now this is not just buying meat from the, these Christians are saying, I can go to the idol's temple and eat the meat, it doesn't affect me. God says fine. But please consider there are younger Christians who just got saved and they've gone out of the temple, they don't want anything to do with the idol's temple. But if you go there and eat, wouldn't you be stumbling him? Paul is telling these Christians, you may be very strong in your faith, but the thing you do can stumble someone else. In verse 10, it says, shall not the conscience of him which is weak, a young Christian, be then emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? Paul further admonishes these Corinthian Christians who are very proud, saying, Jesus died for him too, you know. So at least consider him. Don't do anything that will harm his faith. Those who are older in the faith, when you do not attend church, it may offend a younger Christian. And they will think that it's okay not to come to church, or not to come for prayer meeting, or not to do things. Why? Because Paul is teaching, you're not considering the faith of these young Christians. And so for them, they would also consider, oh, I'm very stressful, right? Everyone is stressful. So, wow, some people don't come, so I don't come. And in verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound against their conscience, you sin against Christ. You know what was Paul operating on? You know what's the principle that Paul is operating? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. That is the principle that Paul was trying to teach the Corinthian Christians. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. See, Paul goes back to the very same principle. We come to church because we love Jesus. We come for prayer meeting because we love Jesus and want to pray together. We come and be faithful in our service or give. We're faithful to our families because we love Jesus. And Paul says, if you operate on this thing that you know a lot, and therefore you can do what you want, and you don't consider that a younger Christian can be stumbled in their faith, Paul calls that sin. He says in verse 12, when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their conscience, you sin against Christ. So in verse 13, you know what Paul's decision? If food will cause my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh. Now, this you must be clear. He's not saying he's not going to eat again, okay? But he says, I'm not going to eat the meat anymore. Meat, and he can eat vegetables, okay? He can choose to eat vegetables. If it makes my brother to offend, I will not eat that anymore. Just in case I will offend my brother. In other words, if me as a pastor, if I drink Coke and it offends you, I will never drink Coke again. Until you grow in Christ and understand Coke is nothing. Does that make sense? In other words, I will do anything that will make sure my brother's Christian life grow, even if it means giving up some things in my life. That is what Paul is trying to teach the Roman Christians. How do we fulfill the law of love? Let me just, in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, how do we fulfill that? Love will not do anything that will harm our brethren. Okay, we've gone through that. How do we ensure that we don't do anything that will harm our brother? Okay, I'll give you a few principles. By being our brother's keeper. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. By being our brother's keeper. And in Galatians 6:1, if our brother is in sin, you tell him. Parents, if our children is in sin, we must tell him and urge him to repent or her to repent. Because we are our brother's keeper. You don't say this because you are more spiritual than a brother. The policeman will do that. The policeman, hello, go in. But because we are Christians, you say, brethren, if our sons or our daughters do wrong, you need to go and tell that person, okay? After we need to restore that person. Number two, we need to bear each other's burden. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Sometimes it's not sin, but as you discuss with the person, you realize, hey, the person is going through a hard time. Well, then bear the person's, see what you can do. Sacrifice your time for someone else. That's love. Love is not just about giving money. It's about giving time and love and care for someone else. Bear ye one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of love, okay? By rebuking our brother when they sin against the Lord. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you truly love someone, you will tell the person when he's wrong. If you truly love someone, you will tell the person. In fact, you will rebuke that person. Because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wounds means it will hurt. As a dad and mom, we have to sometimes tell our children, hey, that is wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Mom, I feel hurt when you said that. Well, then hurt. And get right. Okay? You know, how many of you have had infections before? And I can remember when I was young, I had all this infection in my leg. It's so bad. You know, when nurses last time in the 1970s, I had to go to polyclinic every day for cleaning. And I hate that. You know why? Because when she goes there, they'll use the metal thing, put the cotton wool, dip it in saline, I think, hydrogen peroxide, and when they dig out the infection, they don't give chance. They would say, it's painful, you know? But you know, after 4 or 5 days, your wound gets better, right? Why? You know why the nurse have to, they will gently do it first, but later on, they have to really scrape. Why? Because the germs are underneath. But they have to really get it out. And later on, then they'll put all the medicine and then they'll cover. Then the next day, open and do it again. Did the nurse have a bad intention for me? No. The nurse actually wants to help me. Thank God my skin is okay now. I mean, that's 40 years ago, but But the nurse have to get in and scrape it out, then put the medicine, and then cover up. Sometimes when we rebuke a brother, when we rebuke a sister for sin, you know what it's trying to do? Get the sin out. After you get the sin out, then the word of God can go in and start to heal that person. Does it make sense? If let's say I'm a thief, and someone says, Pastor, you shouldn't be stealing. And I say, you're right. What should I do? Well, then memorize scripture. So I've confessed my sin. I put the sin away. Now it's all open. God can put His Spirit, His love, and His word in my heart. He cover up and I grow. Does that make sense? Sometimes we need rebuke. Remember, if you're a true friend, fathers and mothers, if we will be true friends to our children, I know it's hard. You may need to just tell your children if they are doing wrong. And you know, friends to friends, Christian friends, if you are truly a Christian friend, you will need to be honest and say, if a person is in sin, you need to tell him. Because otherwise, that is not love. That is not love. If we think we don't want to hurt or lose our friend, we are thinking more about ourselves than our friend. You know, we would love a brother or sister more. Even if I lose a friend, I know I've done the right thing. Because I love Jesus and honor Him first. Another thing we need to do is by provoking one another to love and to good works. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. Notice that. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Let's think about one another. And the word provoke literally means to irritate, make each other uncomfortable. You know it's okay to be uncomfortable? Because if you're uncomfortable, but it leads you to be better, wouldn't that be good? How many of you like to go jogging? Well, some do, okay? I mean, Jairo likes to jog now because he's in training. Okay, if I ask Brother Jun, would you like to go jogging? No, don't worry, brother. I don't like to go jogging too. But does jogging help? No. For jogging, for us, those older, it's not exercise, it's work. And we don't want to punish ourselves, you know. But is jogging good? Of course, Brother Asla, you love to jog, I know. You can learn from here, you can run from here to Norway. It's not a problem for you. But some people enjoy that, that's fine. But you know, some things, we just find it hard. But you know, if we are led to do it, but it makes us better, doesn't that help? And the Bible says to provoke one another to love and to good works. The purpose of rebuking a brother is not to offend unnecessarily. The purpose is to irritate the person that he might love God more, love brethren more, and to do good things for the Lord. Provoke to love and to good works, okay? And finally, we need to learn to ensure that we don't do anything that will harm our brother by living for Christ and being a spiritual encouragement. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Just by living our life for Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42. Let me just read. The Bible says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms did, which she did. And she came, and it came to pass in those days that when she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. In other words, when they cleaned her up, like the dead body they put up. For as much as Lada was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. When then Peter arose and went with them, when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Notice, you know, those people, when Dorcas passed away, the woman who has been blessed by Dorcas, Dorcas was someone who sold clothing and gave it to them. And when Peter came, she was the one who gave me this coat, you know. She's such a wonderful woman. And she was living for Christ. She was doing all she can to bless other people and giving to other people, that when she died, people were showing Peter, look, all the clothing that they gave me, she gave me when I needed it. And they were all concerned, and they kept tears for him. Verse 40, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled and prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You know what doctors did? All he did was to live for Christ. She gave. She gave to people in need. Because many of those widows and ladies, they don't have much. I'm thankful for some of y'all when we carried the clothing over. We carried our clothing combined. I think it was about... We carry about 43 kilograms of clothing over for our brethren in Nepal. And received news that some of the sisters at the Bible College actually thank us for bringing that for them. They don't have much in this world. But as brethren, we gave and they were blessed. And there were some of them who don't actually have winter coats. And some brethren put in some and they were very thankful for it. You know, we're just giving to people who love the Lord, you know. Christians, we need to be living for Christ and just being a spiritual encouragement. Let me just say this. Your work is important, but your life with Christ is more important. The education is important, but living for Jesus is more important. Because you cannot bring your certificates to heaven, but you can bring a lost soul to heaven. Your work will cease one of these days, but the reward for your work will be seen in heaven. We need to set our priorities right, both individually as Christians and corporately as a church. I'll just say this as we close. Beloved, let us love one another as Christ loved us. Let everything that we do for Christ from now on in our hearts be because we love Jesus and because we love someone else. Yeah, we can get tired. I wanted to reserve this, but I'll share this with you and I'll close. There was one man, I think Sister Isabella has been in touch with them and he shared this. I took a photo of him. He was playing. They actually have an orchestra and he was sitting right in front. Sister Isabella, I think, or Jeremiah was pointing me to me. That man, he was serving the Lord in the orchestra. This man have stage 4 terminal cancer, and he is serving the Lord. For us as Christians, when we have a headache, we don't come to church. This man has stage 4 cancer, and he is serving the Lord. He can't do much. On the last day of the mission conference, I didn't see him. I was concerned. But you know what? After lunch, he came back. And as I say, hey, brother, how are you? And when he looked at me, it was as if, Pastor Tan, I'm sorry I didn't come to church in the morning. Because I had some pain, I had to take medicine, I had to rest. But he came in the afternoon and he just continued to serve God. There were one or two times when I observed him and he was like, no, if you have cancer in your body, stage 4, and going to die, do you not realize he was going to die? And then there was a lot of, you ask Jeremiah, they were trying a lot of medication and trying to help him. And you know, I just trust the Lord. And he has stage 4 cancer and he's in church serving God. Singaporean Christians, what excuse do we have not to serve God? What excuse? I know we are busy. I know we are tired. But when we see a Christian like that, I say shame on me. I say shame on us. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I say this to encourage us as a church. We need to love Jesus more. We need to love Jesus much, much more. Those believers in Nepal don't even have much, but they give everything they have to Christ, including their lives. And I want to challenge us. Let's love Jesus with all our hearts. Let's give him our all. Let's have high Christian standards. Let's read the Bible and pray more. And let's reprioritize our priorities because we love Christ and because we love one another. And let's be faithful. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our lives. Lord, thank you for the encouragement you've given to me as pastor to go over there in Nepal. But Lord, more than anything, thank you for your precious word, Lord, that teaches us to love one another and to love Jesus with all our hearts. That God, there is nothing in this life we will not give up because you gave up everything to love us. Father, help us to love you with all our hearts. For those who are Christians, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take these words and impress in our hearts. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Build us up, Lord, in the faith, and help us to be loving you more and serving you more. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.